Corinthians, chapter number 13. Again, this evening, I'll take a little time this evening, kind of bring us back up to speed. It's been a few weeks since we started this text. And boy, I tell you, it's a good study. And looking forward to studying some more of this with us this evening and trusting the Lord to use it to be an encouragement, a challenge to our spiritual lives. If you found your place, stand with me. Or while you're finding it, stand with me. We'll get ready to read. And we'll deal with this subject of the communion of the Holy Ghost. The communion of the Holy Ghost. We sure do need it in these days. As God's people, we're in very, very wicked times. And in fact, in the last days, here's what Paul cautioned us about. He prophesied, and he was really given a caution that in the last days, men would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They would depart from the faith. And we could argue about, was they ever really saved, or are they saved? And I ain't got all that nailed down, but I know this. If you're saved and born again, a child of God, the way that you combat all the winds that are blowing in these days, trying to blow us off course, the communion of the Holy Ghost must be essential and essential to your disciple life. And I trust the Lord to help make that clear to us again tonight. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. Then this letter that Paul, second letter that Paul has wrote the church at Corinth, he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And so we'll leave off our reading there unless you want to read another book. All right, that's all there is to read. And you can be seated this evening. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name of our Savior and Lord, the Jesus Christ, Lord, who, Lord, we owe everything that we are tonight to Him and His grace and Your love. And Lord, we're grateful tonight for this privilege we've had to enter in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we've sung these songs and tried to sing with all our might with the congregation, Lord, this evening. And Lord, our hearts have been blessed to sing and to hear singing. And Lord, we're grateful for that and that privilege, Lord, to worship You in that way. And now, Lord, it's our time, Lord, to take the Word of God and apply it to the hearts and lives of Your people and these that have come, these that are listening by other means tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd empower us, Lord, in the weakness of our flesh, the weakness of our mind, and the weakness, Lord, that we are in every way. I pray that You take us beyond ourselves, and Lord, may the Word of God be alive. Lord, may the truths be empowered by He, the Holy Spirit of God, and make, Lord, those things sure and certain, Lord, in the hearts and lives and minds of those that are listening. Lord, we'll thank You for what You do. Lord, should somebody be listening tonight, Lord, here or by some other means in another place, it's not saved. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, some of the things we'll say tonight, they're going to need to hear. And I pray this evening that the Spirit of the Lord and the working of Your grace and the power of the gospel would touch them tonight. May they be saved, born again, regenerated by, Lord, that miracle-working power, the grace of God, and we'll thank You for what You do in that regard as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We understand that Paul had an affection for the church at Corinth. He invests himself in much of the New Testament that we have in our preservation, that much of the New Testament is written to this very local assembly. Paul would spend, 16 chapters in his first letter, 13 in the second, and he's investing himself in them and trying to grow them through reproofs and rebukes and no doubt corrections and instructions that they stand in need of, that they might be all that God and their Savior would have them to be. As he comes down the end of this here, this second letter, these are the last words, recorded words in the Bible, he's going to give to this church in regards to all that he has said. And as we consider this, Paul here gives his final farewell to the brethren that are in this church and exhorts them. This would be known in letter terms of that day and even of our own as a benediction. This is Paul's closing words. For 13 chapters, he has rebuked them. He has exposed the error of their ways. He has pointed out sins that need to be addressed personally as well as corporately in the body. He has challenged them to step it up a notch and to serve God as faithful stewards. And so many things could be said without preaching all 13 chapters of things that Paul has laid into them about. Now he gives him these closing words and finishes the letter simply by telling them and praying for them, praying upon them a threefold blessing that he desires to be real and personal to them. And that is simply found in verse number 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Tonight we want to lay hold particularly upon this verse, but we're centering verses 11 through the end of the letter around the thought and the phrase, the communion of the Holy Ghost. After all that Paul has wrote to them, it is going to take grace and it is going to take love, but it is going to take the communion of the Holy Ghost to take them beyond the condition that they're in and propel them to higher ground and further ground in the cause of Christ, the communion of the Holy Ghost. The word communion, we define it simply by saying it means partnership or participation with. It means a sharer or an associate and carries the idea of being in such union with the Holy Spirit that you are on common terms and common ground and common relation with Him. As we think about that tonight and being in union with the Holy Ghost and the effects that that has in our spiritual life, we would have to say that they are great at the benefits and the blessings that flow from that communion, that common union with Him. My friend, only makes us a better Christian and a more effective Christian. Amen. In so many ways. And so Paul, I think, is emphasizing this last of all as one of the most important things that they need. As we think about the word communion, Webster's defines it simply as fellowship. And so to be in communion and know the communion of the Holy Ghost is to be in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's to be again in that common ground in fellowship. You think about fellowship. Amen. I know in our terms, in the way our world is all out of control, we do things through FaceTime and Zoom meetings, and we call that, amen, artificial fellowship, I guess. And we understand this evening that, amen, if you're going to have real fellowship, that means you've got to be with someone and around someone, amen, in their proximity, close proximity to them. This word communion, Webster said, it is the intercourse, that personal one-on-one relation between two persons or more as a state of giving and receiving. And so in the communion of the Holy Ghost, in that regard of our relationship with Him, there is both receiving from Him and our giving to Him. And in a common relationship one to the other, it means agreement, union, and worship, in doctrine and in discipline. Communion, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Communion, the word communion is used three times in the Bible, each interestingly by the Apostle Paul. And in every instance that he uses this word communion, we find that it is given to the very church that is of our concern tonight, the church at Corinth. He would tell them in 1 Corinthians 10:16, would give them a reminder, the communion we have with that of the sacrifice of Christ at the cross, and that entrance that through the cross in communion with Christ in the cross, that we gain entrance and access to fellowship of Christ's table. My friend, we can have communion with the Son of God. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I'm on good terms with Christ tonight. I'm thankful that I can sit at His table and eat with Him. That's what He said was His desire to the church at Laodicea as He was without the church. And knocking on the door, what did He say? He said, if any man will hear My voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with Me. And so we learned that there is access we have in this communion. We have it with Christ, amen, upon the sacrifice that He made for you and I at the cross. Amen. We can never sit at Christ's table in communion with Him on our own merit. Amen. Could you imagine going to Christ and say, I deserve to have communion and fellowship with You because of something I've done? Amen. There would be no fellowship, no communion, no access to His table. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 6 and in verse number 14, as he would deal with again the idea of communion, he would challenge them, amen, about different opposing forces, forces for good, forces for evil, forces of light, forces of darkness. Amen. He would deal with the fellowship and the concord and even the communion that light would have with darkness. And he would remind you and I that our communion cannot be divided. And my friend, if we are of Christ and of the light and of the day and of the good, and my friend, there must be a communion with that. Amen. And so long as there is a walking in darkness and a walking with the world and a fellowship with evil deeds, then our communion with God, my friend, suffers. And so we can't have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. Amen. We cannot be divided, but we must be separated. And so Paul would say, amen, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And so a separation from darkness unto light, that we might know the fellowship and the communion of God. And I believe that needs to be preached probably more than it ever has needed to be preached in these days. My friend, where people just go along with anything and everything this world, amen, throws our way. Every philosophy, every mentality, amen, every wickedness and every sin, it seems like, and even in the realms of religion so-called, there is a reservation to break off in separation from the things of the world, and all that suffers when we don't do that is our communion and fellowship with the Lord. And so Paul spake of communion there. And then, of course, in our text, I believe that Paul here is giving the insight as to how we can walk in light and avoid darkness, and that is by communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If I'm to be in communion with Christ and with His table, if I'm to be in communion with the light and separated from the world, my friend, I must be tapped into the communion of the Holy Ghost. I think about this, of all the things that Paul has wrote, all the hard statements that Paul has made, the only way they're going to be able to make these spiritual adjustments and excel in some of these spiritual growths and the areas of weakness are going to be strengthened. My friend, it's not going to come by them turning a new leaf. It's not going to come by them determining within themselves to do it. It can only come by, amen, participation with the Holy Ghost, communion with Him, and yielding themselves to Him and His direction in their life. Paul would say in Philippians 2 and in verse number 1, amen, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, and he's dealing with the church there at Philippi, that they would come together and that, amen, certain things that they needed to address, that, amen, there were some things that were going to they were going to have to grow in, one of which
was the fellowship or the communion of the Spirit of God. Amen. And may I say, we need fellowship with Him in these days. Amen. Communion, the communion of the Holy Ghost, I'm afraid, is something that is lacking in our day. And some among our own Baptist circles are afraid, amen, to deal with this because of the charismatics and those that, my friend, have twisted Scripture to say certain things about the work and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. But, amen, can I say I'm not scared of the Bible tonight. And we understand that, amen, that you and I, when we got saved, that in getting saved, we received the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Anybody who doesn't have the Holy Ghost is none of Christ. They're not saved. They're not born again. Amen. With the new birth comes the entrance of the Spirit of God into our life. Amen. And with salvation, and Brother Tim did a great job teaching this morning, comes, amen, a deliverance and a power, my friend, and victory over sin. Amen. But that only comes because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so with salvation, we're called, my friend, not to any longer walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit. When we walk after the Spirit, what do we find? We find life and we find liberty. Amen. Because we receive Him in that moment of salvation. Amen. We're not looking for a second blessed. Amen. We got all the Holy Ghost we're going to get the very moment that we got saved. Amen. And I'm glad about that. I ain't looking for any more. Amen. I got all of Him I'm ever going to get. There's no more to have. Amen. Now, there may be a greater experience as far as His power and His direction and His guidance. Amen. But you got all of Him that you're going to get. Amen. And then maybe there's someone, I don't believe there's anyone in the building tonight. Amen. There may be someone listening this evening, some other means that, amen, you're confused about all that. But Jesus said, I'm going away. Amen. But when I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter. Amen. Called Him the Comforter, called Him the Spirit of Truth, called it, amen, our guide. And I'm thankful, my friend, that we got Him when we got saved. Amen. A lot of things we could preach in that, in connection with that truth tonight. Amen. And we may say some more about it here in just a moment. Amen. In another vein of truth. But, amen, I believe this matter, the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, is something that a child of God must learn to grow in after that they're saved. Amen. Not that we're, again, looking to get more of Him, but that we're, my friend, more tapped into Him the longer we're saved. That, my friend, He has more influence on our life than we realize. And by fellowship with Him and participation with Him, and my friend, intimacy with Him, there is the setting of the course of our life in God's will and the truths of God's Word. Amen. In the direction of the ministry that God would have for you and I. Amen. There must be the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are some things only learning this truth you'll only know other things about. Amen. I'll never forget. I've referenced it many times. I don't think I'll forget it. Amen. As long as I live, we was in the early prayer room one morning, and we was talking about this generation of Christianity and some of the things that the church and Christians have become so far removed from in these days in regards to holy living and righteousness and the excuses that have been made in our culture. And I was going on, and amen, I guess maybe having a complaining session about it all. And Brother A.L. said, Pastor, there are some things only the Holy Ghost can teach people. And I believe that's right. I believe that's right this evening. I'll never forget that. Amen. Brother A.L., really what he was just saying is, if they ever learn something about the communion of the Holy Ghost, it'll fix that problem. Amen. And I believe that this evening. I believe it's right. Amen. The Spirit of God will never lead you into error. The Spirit of God will never lead you, amen, into sin and the worldliness and the carnality. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost will lead you to higher ground. and a more separated life and a more Christ-like life, amen, I believe that's right tonight. And so we think about the communion of the Holy Ghost and the meat, amen, that we have this evening, that we would be tapped into that truth. And so we embarked upon just expounding upon these verses of Paul's benediction here in this second letter, and surrounding it around the phrase, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So there's three connections we give you. Amen. That require the communion of the Holy Ghost in order to stay intact. And if you don't have the communion of the Holy Ghost, you'll suffer in these areas. Amen. And if you suffer in these areas, your Christian life is going to suffer. Amen. And so he said, number one, it connects us to the preacher of God. In verse number 11, Paul said, finally, brethren, farewell. Amen. Now he's not kissing them goodbye. Amen. Literally, he is wishing them fair. He is wishing them well. Amen. He is desiring their well-being. Amen. Paul, for 13 chapters, has skinned them up one side and down the other. Amen. Some of the hardest things Paul would ever say to a local church, amen, minus maybe the church at Galatia, Paul said to the church in Corinth. I mean, he called them babies, he called them carnal, amen, he called them sowers of discord, unfaithful servants, amen. He warned them that the path they was on, they were in jeopardy of standing before Christ with nothing more than wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. He warned them, if I got to come down there and deal with this, and you don't straighten it out through the letter I'm writing, I'm coming with a rod of iron, and I will not spare. And I mean, he laid into them, amen, about some pretty hard things. And yet we find that Paul didn't do that out of a mean spirit. Amen. Paul didn't do that for their destruction. Amen. Paul wanted them to do well. Amen. And my friend, the only way you're going to receive the farewell of a preacher, amen, that has blistered your hide is, amen, through the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The flesh will resist it. The flesh will buck up against it. Amen. The flesh will make accusations against the man of God. Amen. But those in the communion of the Holy Ghost, they realize, amen, that my friend, they've got to stay connected to the preacher of God. Amen, the preacher ain't your enemy. Don't make him your enemy. Amen, I'm telling you tonight. Amen, maybe I need to preach all this again. I forgot how good it preached the first time. Amen, I'm telling you, communion of the Holy Ghost should keep you right with the man of God. Amen, and we need that in this day. I understand there's a bunch of hirelings in this day. Amen. I understand they some men out to build their own kingdom. Amen. But if you have any confidence at all, amen, that a man is a man of God, we would do well. And if you're in the communion of the Holy Ghost, you will fare well. Amen. In maintaining that connection with the preacher of God. Amen. You say, I don't like some of the things you preach. Amen. Well, get in line. There's a lot of folk don't like some of the things I preach. Amen. I got over that. You got to get over it if you're going to be a man of God. Amen. And just get up and preach and wish folk well. Amen. But I'm telling you, listen. Amen. That crowd that is staying in communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I ain't saying they won't get tempted. I ain't saying we won't even get sideways every now and then. Amen. But at the end of the day, that communion will keep that lifeline that we need. Amen. Of God's preacher being in our life, helping direct us in truth. Amen. Somebody say, man, if I got to preach and shout at the same time, we'll be here till midnight. Amen. I'm telling you in this day, amen, the connection in the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, it'll keep us connected to the preacher of God. Amen. It'll keep us connected to the presence of God. Amen. And we found that the presence of God, amen, of the God of love and of peace can only be fully known by the fulfillment of the list of things that are found there in verse number 11. Amen. These things can only be done by the communion of the Holy Ghost. That is, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, and live in peace. Amen. Won't re-preach all that, but these things can only come by communion of the Holy Ghost. And when He is allowed to have that reign and leadership in our life, amen, we find that we will walk in God's presence and God will be with us. And then we looked at the communion of the Holy Ghost. It connects us to the people of God. Amen. For there Paul said, greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. And so Paul is saying to a crowd that has been divided, amen, listen, both letters he had to write to them and say, I hear, and it is commonly reported that among you there is division and there is schisms in the body. And now I find it humorous myself that Brother Jack, amen, Paul is telling the crowd he knows they can't stand each other, and he tells them the best thing y'all can do is just kiss and make up. Amen. Just sit down and realize who you belong to, that your brothers and sisters in the family of God. Amen. Get over what your ailments are. Get over your oppositions and move on for the cause of Christ. Amen. He said, all the saints salute you. Why do we do this? Amen. Because there's other people of God that's watching us. Amen. And my friend, when we're in the communion of the Holy Ghost makes us aware of that. Amen. And we realize we ain't got time to spin our wheels being bitter and upset and hateful and disagreeable in the work of God. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost to keep you connected to the people of God. Amen. And so the connections of the communion of the Holy Ghost. Y'all want number two? Amen. Number two tonight. I won't give you two and three, just number two, and we're out of here. Amen. Notice the correlations in the communion of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, what do you mean correlation? Well, notice our verse tonight. When Paul did not just say the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all, he said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, comma, and the love of God, comma, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. So I noted some things here. We'll call it the correlation in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, amen, a doctrinal truth we need to point out while we're here. Amen, this verse is easily a proof text for that of the Christian fundamental doctrine of the Trinity. When you read verse number 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. This is in theological terms known as Trinitarian doctrine. And we are Trinitarian. We believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And these three are one. We believe in one God. God said of Himself, amen, that He was one and He is one. Amen, but He has manifested Himself through three persons. Amen, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'll not go into the whole discourse upon the Trinity doctrine. Amen, I believe it ought to be easily identified in that single verse tonight. Amen, and yet we can give you dozens and dozens of verses, amen, that teach a Trinitarian doctrine. Amen, there's a crowd of Jesus only and the Father only and Jehovah only. But my friend, we understand there is Jesus Christ, God's Son, there is God the Father, and there is God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so in this verse we find, amen, really what Paul is showing here is that we see the cooperative work between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Amen. Paul says that it's going to take the cooperative work. It's going to take the influence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. To be working together. Amen. You can't leave one of these out. There is a correlation of one to the other that is needful as the one God. amen, that has saved you is working in your life in different ways. And so this matter of a correlation, a cooperative work, amen, I know that it goes without saying here, but we say it anyway, amen, to remind ourselves that the Father and the Son and the Spirit, they're not on different pages. Amen. Their works and their ministries may, amen, be different, but they are all correlating together cooperatively, amen, in one divine plan, amen, being exercised in our life. What do we mean by that? We mean that when Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth, amen, He wasn't out to do His own thing. He said of Himself, amen, I've come to do the works of Him that sent me. And so His ministry does not oppose that of the Father's plan. Amen, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that when He comes, amen, He will guide you into all truth, and He will speak of me and testify of me. Amen. There's a crowd in the realms of religion today and have taken the Holy Spirit, my friend, and made Him some, amen, some lone ranger cowboy of a deity out doing His own thing. Amen. His ministry is in absolute union and fellowship with the Father and the Son. Amen. He's not out to do His own thing. He has a ministry. Amen. The Spirit of God does, and He does it well, but He does it in correlation with the work of the Son and the work of the Father. Now, what do we mean by this from this verse? Y'all hang with me now. Amen. We're dealing with the communion of the Holy Ghost. But notice here in this verse, the redemptive correlation that is found in this benediction. You say, what do you mean? The redemptive correlation, the redemptive doctrine, the redemptive truth. Amen. That is here that, amen, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're working together. What are they doing? Amen. That is grace, that is love, and then a relationship with God by the Holy Spirit. And so I see the redemptive correlation in this benediction in that it is the love of God. It is the love of God. The love of God, amen, designed the plan that sent His Son. Amen. It is the grace of Christ that was extended and exemplified at Calvary as He gave His life for ours. And so Paul said, don't forget, amen, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't forget the love of God. And so there is, my friend, the redemptive correlation. Amen, the love of God sent the grace of God. Amen, and what is the result? The result is we have relationship, amen, with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The results in the truths of grace and of love is a relationship with God by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so what is the point of all of this? Preacher, that's elementary. Preacher, we've heard that 10,000 times in our services here in Calvary. What are you saying? What is the point? Amen. The point is simply this. Amen. The point is simply this. The thought is this. And until one is truly, as one truly and personally has come to experience love and grace, they can have no communion with the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid that even what I'm preaching tonight, and I pray this is not so in the crowd I'm preaching to, but this doctrine, this truth, this discipline, amen, this privilege and yet responsibility we have concerning the communion of the Holy Ghost, could it be the reason there's so much failure of this in people's lives is we're trying to get folk to know the communion of the Holy Ghost who know nothing of the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? You cannot have the communion of the Holy Ghost. You'll not know His direction. Amen. You wouldn't be able to follow Him out of a wet paper sack. Amen. To you have come to know salvation. Amen. The word of God will be confusing to you. Amen. The work of God in your life will be unknown. You will not understand separation and sanctification. Amen. You'll not understand knowing the will of God and the importance of doing it. Amen. Outside of the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But you can't know that until there has been a salvation experience in your life. So we try to set folk up and set them in a way and say, get in the Bible and follow the Holy Ghost. And they can't do it. They make a mess of things every time they turn around. And we make enough of a mess. I ain't preaching from a high horse tonight. Amen. I've made plenty of messes of things. But, amen, can I say in the depths of my heart, amen, there is an assurance and a confidence tonight. Amen, that the love of God, I know that God loves me. Amen, and listen, and not a perverted love, not a watered down love, that God loved me so much and hated my sin so great. And He sent His Son by grace into this world, amen, to die for my sin, to change my life, amen, to make my life different. And I may mess up, I may fail, but there's something on the inside of me, amen, that desires to walk with Him and to fellowship with Him and to walk in a way of the light and to walk in a way that is right. Amen. And so tonight, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the correlation, amen, is found even in the redemptive doctrine and the redemptive truth. You cannot separate, amen, our redemption from the relationship that a real child of God has in communion of the Holy Ghost. I believe that's right. Billy Mitchell would say, amen, why he bats his eyes. Amen. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is that important? Is that important? It's absolutely important in understanding redemption's plan and redemption's reality in our life. Amen. And yet, when Paul writes this, he's not writing with sinners in mind. He said in verse number 11, finally, brethren. Amen. He's writing to those that have been struggling. He's writing to those that, my friend, have been just kind of clanking along and haven't showed a whole lot. And Paul is giving them some insight. Amen. It's going to take the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But notice the correlation of grace and love. Amen, to the communion of the Holy Ghost, not only in redemption's plan, but my friend, in our lives as children of God, amen, as we walk in the communion of the Holy Ghost, notice the bearing that has when it comes to grace and love in our life. And these are kind of meditative thoughts, Brother Jack, as I just have thought on, why does Paul say the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all? What is it about the correlative work of these three together we need to understand? Amen. I thought about this. And I think I'm right about this now. Amen. Here's how I wrote it down, if you're taking notes. Amen. Through communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, we acknowledge grace and love. Through communion of the Holy Ghost, there is an acknowledgement of grace and of love. Amen. Listen, if you're walking in the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, in this communion, He reminds us that we are nothing apart from God's love and God's grace, amen, in redemption's plan. Amen, as we're walking in communion with Him, amen, there is no pride that swells up. There is no acknowledgement of self or of merit or of deeds that, amen, have gained us any kind of favor with God. Amen, through the communion of the Holy Ghost, there is a lead in our life and acknowledgement of grace and love. Amen, listen, the days we struggle with pride, And the days, my friend, we get a little big for our britches. Amen. The days, my friend, we get that Holy Spirit swelling up and begin to think we're God's gift to church and we're the greatest thing. We're just the cream of the crop. Amen. Of God's children. Amen. You show me areas in my life where I'm like that, and you show me areas, amen, where you or others are like that, and I will point out and plainly say, and that is evidence there is no communion of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost should keep you humble. The Holy Ghost, my friend, will cause you to acknowledge God's grace and God's love. Is that right? Amen. And so Paul said, acknowledge the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and acknowledge and walk in and know the love of God. Amen. But don't forget the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because outside the Holy Ghost, we're so prone to forget. Amen. Outside of that fellowship with Him, we get the big head. And Brother Gerald, we struggle and we lose sight, amen, of what it really is to be saved and giving God all the glory and all the credit and acknowledging, amen, we're nothing without Him. Right. Communion of the Holy Ghost, we acknowledge grace and love. Is that right? Amen. You say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm running pretty good. Well, you just give her a day or two and you're going to fall. Amen. Pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirits go before a fall. But the communion of the Holy Ghost reminds you what you were before Jesus came into your life. Before you ever knew anything about the love of God in an experiential way. Amen. The Spirit of God, my friend, cries out and acknowledges that. Amen. Everything we are and everything we hope to be and are aiming to be and the mark that we're shooting for. And my friend, we must acknowledge that it is God's love and it is Christ's grace. Amen. If we're ever going to be, my friend, what we need to be. Amen. Was it not Paul, no doubt, in communion of the Holy Ghost, had acknowledged, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Was it no doubt the Apostle Paul, amen, in the communion of the Holy Ghost said, the love of Christ, the love of Christ constraineth us. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, the communion, through the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, and only through the communion of the Holy Ghost can we acknowledge grace and love. Number two. These are just meditations. I think about this verse where Paul said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. I wrote it down this way. I think through the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, we appreciate grace and love. We appreciate, we not only acknowledge it, but there is this sense of a spirit-filled joy and thankfulness and gratitude for that that we have received that we did not deserve. Amen. I'm glad this evening that in this communion there is stirred within us a work of gratitude for love and grace in redemption. Amen. That's why, amen, every now and then you ought to get so stirred. Amen. And those that are living in the communion of the Holy Ghost do. Amen. You can't be in communion with Him and not get stirred about grace and love. Amen. When you sing it, when you're singing Amazing Grace in the communion of the Holy Ghost. In the communion of the Holy Ghost. There's something about that song that bears witness. Amen. That testifies and stirs you up. Amen. When you sing the light. Amen. That you is a wretched. Amen. You is a wretch and blind. But now you say, amen. I'm telling you, my friend, that communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It will stir within us a spirit of gratitude. Amen. For God's love and God's grace, tears will flow every now and then. Amen. The birds are going to sing it and the harp bells are going to ring it. Amen. Why? Because the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, stirs an appreciation for grace and love. Amen. It'll move you every now and then when you've been in the communion of the Holy Ghost all week long, and you come in on Sunday, ain't nobody got to prop you up and beg you to testify. Ain't got to beg you to sing out. Come on now. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost, and you've been in the prayer closet, and you've been participating with Him and talking with Him and He with you, and He's leading your life and He's revealing things in your life. Amen. Oh, you'll be my friend. You'll be, amen, riding down the road and get filled up. Anybody know what that is? Amen. Ride down the road and squall like a baby and just say, Lord, I want to thank you. Anybody here tonight know anything about getting in the secret place? Amen. When there ain't a choir around it. Amen. There ain't a preacher around and there ain't a church around it. And there ain't a spouse or children around. Nobody to put on a show for it. Amen. And your heart get overwhelmed with, amen, grace and love as the Holy Ghost, amen, comes by and makes it all real again. Amen. What a correlation. What a correlation. Amen. And a work, a cooperative work. And the Holy Ghost brings to the life and the child of God. Amen. To make us appreciate what we have in Jesus. Amen. The fact that we acknowledge grace and love and we appreciate grace and love through communion of the Holy Ghost. And last of all, now come bring these meditative thoughts to an end. I believe we could probably back these up in many places, but just using this one verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. What is the correlation through communion of the Holy Ghost? Here's how I worded it. We apply grace and love. We apply grace and love. For the grace and the love that we have received, we are to extend. Those that have known the grace of Christ want to exemplify that when they can. Those that, my friend, that know the love of God have been given the command to extend that love to others about us. Is that right? The flesh does not know how to apply grace and love. In fact, the flesh, my friend, knows nothing about when and where and how and even what it is. Amen. Somebody I read this week said about the flesh, said the flesh is the unredeemed nature of man. Amen. I'm redeemed and I'm saved tonight, but there's an old man on the inside. And I'll never forget, I think the first one I ever heard say it was Brother Buster Mullins. Brother Billy Mitchell said it often. Amen. Jesus said, that which is born the flesh is flesh, that which is born the spirit is spirit. Amen. And Brother Billy Mitchell said, our flesh is so wicked, God gave up on it way back in the Garden of Eden. The flesh does not know how to apply grace and love. Amen. So when we think about this, I think there's a twofold application of applying grace and love that can only come through the communion of the Holy Ghost. Number one, may I say, in this communion, there is the application of love and grace extended from us to others as He works in us to apply it on those that we do not desire to apply it upon. Come on now, anybody ever done you wrong and you didn't want to give love and grace? Anybody ever do something, say something about you, to you, treat you some way that in yourself you wanted to flatten their tires? Am I the only one? I'm telling you, it's just my endemic nature. Amen. I have laid awake at night sometimes thinking of doing some ungodly things to people. Amen. Nothing, no, I'm not talking about kill them or nothing like that. I'm just talking about make life hard on them. Come on now.
My mind, buddy, my mind can come up with ways. Brother Jack, if I told you, y'all would say, I can't believe we showed up and hear this man preach tonight. I guess I'm the only one. There's something about the communion of the Holy Ghost that kicks in and says, quit thinking that way, quit acting that way, and begins to work in our life to apply grace and love that we have received. Is that right? I believe that's right. In this, there is the extension of forgiveness. In this, there is the removal of the root of bitterness. In this, my friend, is the working that removes all malice out of our mind and out of our heart and causes us to walk, my friend, the paths of grace and of love and extend that to others even when we don't want to. How do you do that? Through the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The flesh says, they got me, I'm going to get them back. The flesh keeps the score and keeps the record. But the communion of the Holy Ghost erases all the accounts. Amen. Amen. That's one way I think this application can be made. May I say as well, and this needs to be preached, and I'm working on some thoughts. I want to preach it right because it can be a dangerous vein of truth, but I believe it's biblical that the application of love and grace through the communion of the Holy Ghost, you know what the Holy Ghost does in applying that? He keeps us from perverting grace and love. Grace and love belong to God. You say, well, what do you mean? I think we can identify it from a problem even that Paul had pointed out in the church at Corinth, and now he's ending saying, you need the communion of the Holy Ghost to teach you not only when to apply grace and love, but how to apply it. They were bragging on harboring sin in their church as though they had a monopoly on grace and love. Paul said, that ain't grace and love to overlook somebody's sin.
Right, right.
There's a crowd, and I'll be careful here. Amen. But there's let me just deal with it from a large general way. All right, I ain't got nobody in mind. Just hear me out. There's a crowd in our day that think they got a monopoly on grace and love. They ain't ever walked in the communion of the Holy Ghost. And they're trying to apply something that the Holy Ghost is not directing them in how to apply. When you do that, you'll overlook sin. When you do that, you try to give grace and love without communion of the Holy Ghost, and you'll pervert it every time. Come on now. You'll put yourself on a level of judging folk that you think's judgmental, who's just simply walking in the communion of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is showing them not just to apply grace and love, but how to apply grace and love. Does that make sense? Believe that's right. Amen. I know it goes against the grain of the culture that we're in these days. I understand that. But you ain't hearing much teaching on the communion of the Holy Ghost. Most folk only respond in emotions, and that emotion can be outright outrage and anger, which is sickening. Or it can be sappy and so attached to philosophies of the world that is just as sickening. Preacher, what is the balance? Is everybody letting me teach you something tonight? What is the balance? The balance is walk in the communion of the Holy Ghost. I've done that, and for 20-something years, I guess now, I've been pastoring. Buddy, I've been accused of everything. Judgmental. There's one man, he said, He said, Pastor Ledbetter, he's just the warden. He thinks he's the warden of the church. Amen. And I looked up the warden, and the word warden said, amen, the one who keeps others safe from criminals. And I thought, yeah, I guess I'm a warden.
Yes. Hey.
Amen. Now, I've been accused of it all. Judgmental, legalist, Pharisee, and then there's another crowd that says, oh, Brother Ledbetter, he's such a liberal, he lets everything go. Now, how do you get criticized from both sides? How do you get criticized from both sides? You walk in the communion of the Holy Ghost and let Him guide your life in how to apply grace and love.
Amen.
Old Dr. Crowley, he's the dean of the college I went to, he said one time, he said, Brother Gerald, he said, if you're getting criticized from both points of view, he said, you're probably standing where you need to stand.
Amen.
There is a need today of applying grace and love. Not in the ways it is promoted on social media, memes and stupid stuff like that. A practical application where the Spirit of God directs us how to apply grace and love. That ain't always sappy and warm and fuzzy. Sometimes that grace and love is applied in a hard way. That doesn't mean it's not grace and love.
Right. Yes, sir.
In fact, it may mean there's more grace and love in it than anybody could comprehend.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
An application of grace and love, an acknowledgement of grace and love, an appreciation for grace and love. Do you see the correlation here? No wonder Paul said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. All of us need this. This ain't just for the preacher. It's not just for Brother Tim, the Sunday school teacher. This is not just for Jerry, the choir leader and the song leader and the treasurer. But Jack, this is for all of us. Allowing the correlation of a triune God to work in our life and through the communion of the Holy Ghost, learn things about grace and about love. Amen. Well, I'm done. Boy, I feel like we crashed and burned there at the end, but amen. Maybe you're just thinking. I hope. Amen. The connections and the correlations I'll end on next Sunday night, the Lord's will. I want to give us some cautions in the communion of the Holy Ghost. And we'll spring out into some other texts and show you some things next Sunday night. Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You tonight. The Word of the Lord, the instruction that it gives us. Thank You this evening, Lord, that You are a God of truth and a God that is interested in our growth and our spiritual development. Lord, we would confess tonight, Lord, for our generation, and Lord, in many ways, even in my own life, Lord, we have failed, Lord, in the matter of the communion of the Holy Ghost. But Lord, we're striving. Lord, we desire, and Lord, we have followed it at times and know the blessings that are there. And Lord, it draws us tonight again, Lord, to want to walk in that. Lord, I pray this evening as the Godhead has cooperated and worked together as one God, Lord, I pray that we'd allow that correlation, Lord, to take place in our life, the matters of grace and of love. Thank You for giving us grace. Thank You for loving us. Lord, we say thank You and we extend our gratitude one more time tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd acknowledge that on a daily basis and never, Lord, reach a place, Lord, where we're proud in ourselves and think that we've become what we are in our own merit. Then, Lord, I pray that You would teach us how to apply grace and love. Lord, to be gracious and loving Christians and children of God, extending that, Lord, in the way the Spirit of God would apply that, Lord, through our life. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd walk in the ways that you've set before us. Lord, enjoy that fellowship this week. May it be upon every life, young and old. May it be in every family this week, Lord, I pray. Lead us, Lord, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.